Misplaced your keys? Have you tried checking China? Wiz is conjuring up some big buyout plans, and MSI is giving Windows the blue screen blues. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the August 29th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Tony Francisco and joined by my special co-host today, Mr. Tom Lawrence. Tom, how are you doing? There's very few things. We're talking Christmas, Hanukkah, and cookies and cream ice cream. Those are the things that I just love the most. Talk to me. Co-hosting with you gets me excited.
That sounds fun. I'm excited. We have to make a little time to talk about another issue that I brought up. It's gonna be fun.
So where are you located?
Detroit, Michigan is closest city. Closest big city. So Motor City.
So I'm in Tampa, Florida, and tonight we are experiencing a Category 3, I believe it is, hurricane coming through. So when everybody's watching this, if you can check with us to say, hey, is Tony still alive? If I answer, that's a good sign. I just want everyone to know that. but let's talk about some, like, kick off some really fun stuff. So there was an article that came out, and it's from the CEO of Zoom. Now, I'm a little curious about this, because when you read through this article, you're saying, hey, can't be that bad. But the article says that Eric Yuan, the CEO, believes that in-person work fosters a better trust in innovation. And that's despite the company's branding and promoting remote collaboration. Zoom is meant for, hey, use our Zoom. You can work from anywhere and you don't have to have people back in the office. But secretly, hey, listen, people working in the office is so much better.
So, are you trying to tell me there's another tech company saying one thing but doing it different again?
Wait, hey, first off, hold on while I smoke my cigarettes, because they said that the cigarettes are not bad. I am fascinated by this article, because it even goes in talking about the amount of employees. So they went from 2,000 employees to 6,000 employees hired during the pandemic, which really made trust building difficult. They talked about the policy changes, and then employees within 50 miles of the office must now absolutely attend at least twice a week in-person office working. And then Zoom's future, frankly, envisions a Zoom 2.0 with advanced remote interactions. Does that mean requirements of coming back into the office? What are your thoughts on this? I feel like they started one direction, but are they going the other?
I think it's so new to us. As think about this. This is something me and you, when we were teenagers, could not have imagined. Like, this was something a guy talked on a little phone. You know, this was something like sci-fi. And, you know, it's now become so fast moving, and we're supposed to change work cultures based on these new norms, if you want to keep using that term. But we do know something's missing, because me and you talk, and I met you over Zoom, and we talked quite a bit. We certainly talked a lot differently, as you know, when we were in person and hanging out together. And I think there's still a lot about that. You're laughing because of what we talked about, that we're glad is not Zoom and cannot be
Zoom. But that in person is amazing. And that's the connection. And maybe that's what he's referring to.
There's a level of human nuance that is, you know, lost in text. You think, okay, I can replace it in a Zoom. I don't think you can. I think there's levels of communication. And especially us as technology people, and many of the people who use Zoom are in the tech industry, we know it's being recorded somewhere. So there's still this level of reservedness that we may have, an idea maybe we're afraid, or we can't see the way it's perceived in reading the room, because trying to look at a bunch of group of faces, did they really wince when I said that? You know, but you get a better feeling when you're in person.
Damn you, digital footprint. Okay, yeah. So with that, you know what we should do today? Let's jump in the news.
You should come. We'll hang out after.
We have more connected talk outside of this remote stuff. Hey, for now, let's get into the news, man. And jumping into my first story from ArsTechnica.com, Microsoft's signing keys keep getting hijacked to the delight of Chinese threat actors. Security researchers found malware mistakenly authenticated Microsoft's digital signatures. A Chinese hacking group, CarterBee, exploited this to compromise eSafeNet, a Chinese software developer, impacting roughly 2,000 organizations. They further pushed the malicious software to about 100 entities. Microsoft's certification system, introduced for kernel-level protection in Windows 10, has faced repeated breaches. Many of these intrusions have links to Chinese hackers, highlighting vulnerabilities in Microsoft security processes. So, Tom, this is where we unpack this very quickly and cleanly. And I'm going to answer this question, and it's all up to you. How do we solve the problem? Go. You got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Using Microsoft. That's how I solve the problem. I don't know how to solve it for my clients yet.
Exactly. Wait, hold on. Look. Do you see it? It's gone. That was our Microsoft sponsorship. It's going away.
Yeah, it's gone.
They are being attacked from every single angle. Kernel level protection is bypassed repeatedly. What are the answers? I feel like there's no safe zone anymore. There is no safe house. Talk to me.
So key revocation works. We have a process for key revocation for websites, and that works, but that works poorly when it comes to software because software gets signed and doesn't really get re-signed. So doing any type of key revocation is just not really there. Matter of fact, last week, Microsoft revoked one of the large key signing thing that broke QuickBooks for everybody. And we know QuickBooks is pretty king in small business. Then they quietly put the key signing back, kind of almost like a proof of concept of what. And also Microsoft's been completely silent as to why they temporarily, I think it was for 3 days, revoked that signing key and then put it back. It's kind of a mystery. But these are some of those challenges we have because we just don't have a clear method. Once we decide we're going to trust some software and we have a signing key, we don't have a good revocation path. And I think that's something we're going to have to do in the future. There are some inroads to this from an idea standpoint. I've just not seen any practical implementations yet to say that this is the standard we're going to follow. But I think there may be a future where we have a standard signing and revocation system that keeps these things valid or marked as not valid. And that's how we determine this.
Okay, so that's where I was going with this. Is there a single repository solution, or is this something more along the lines of almost a blockchain scenario? Because that has not been the case before. What are your thoughts on a blockchain authentication process that almost replaces the key itself? Because it is, by definition, a community key that everyone has to agree to, yet if it's done correctly, the rules have to originate from a single source of origin. What are your thoughts on that? Is that a potential replacement?
I think that works. But just go back to the fact that we have root authorities and the fact that we have a revocation process now. We don't necessarily need new technology. We need people to agree, which is way harder than new technology.
I replace your reality and substitute it with my own.
There's four standards. Let's have a meeting, and next thing you know, there's five standards, right?
Oh my god!
We have a meeting, consolidate them, and there's five.
You know what? We could sit there and talk about this, but I also want to point out to everyone that Tom does not come on that often, and every time he comes, my therapist gets a huge boost in revenue because remember, we're not just talking about the signing keys now. We learned that QuickBooks had a brief outage a moment ago, and Tom was so nonchalant about that. He just kind of slipped that in there, just casually. I think this is a topic that we need to talk about. I think that there needs to be, unfortunately, a true standardization process that's outside the standards of the past, and we need to move to what technologies are now and possibly in the future that's outside of a single centralized repository, a key signing process, and maybe something more along the lines of a blockchain origination or something past that. Anyway, we could talk about this a lot, but the good news is there are smart people out there doing really cool stuff.
Yes.
Some people call them wizards. Some people call whiz. Talk about it.
Yeah. Cyber startup Wiz is weighing potential bid for Sentinel One. A closely held cybersecurity company, Wiz Inc., is considering a potential bid for Sentinel One Inc. and what could represent a rare move by a startup to buy a large listed company. I think this is really interesting because they've been around and publicly traded for a minute, Sentinel One, and here's a startup that wants to acquire them. I don't know. What do you think? That's a really interesting, bold move there.
This is...
Usually startups want to go till they go public. This is like a startup buying public and bringing it in. That's a really interesting bid.
So let's process. Let's think about this from a completely different angle. You and I get a boatload of money. And we look around and we say, let's do something with this. Who can we purchase that is doing something really good in an industry that's going to continue to move forward that's not doing it good enough? If you think like that and they see Sentinel One, the question is, what can they do better with Sentinel One? And when you think about that, you're probably talking about the procurement process. You're probably talking about the management process. You're probably talking about the total available market and that it's completely singled out to a manual process, which is what Sentinel One currently does. And if you can make that a more frictionless procurement and management and possibly payment process, on top of opening up the TAM, the total available market, to where it's not just the resellers, but the consumers themselves, maybe in certain sects, that will allow kind of like an Office 365 scenario where certain customers can buy a certain level of Sentinel One retail version. But if you want the full Monty, we can send you through a reseller, which gives the best of both worlds. It's now opening up almost an organic lead generation process to feed the very resellers that they played with so far, this MSP world that we live in. Is that what they're thinking? I'm just throwing this out at the top of my head. So I mean,
I think there's a lot of that, you know, economies of scale and then having a really mature company on there. I think one of the other sides of this is Wiz builds out the cloud security. Sentinel One builds out the desktop security. I need a desktop, a computer to get to the cloud, but I need to get there securely. Because if you are impersonating me and take over my computer, the securities I put on the cloud, well, if I think that Tony's accessing it, I'm going to let Tony access and do the things that Tony needs to do. So kind of owning it from the source of how you access the cloud and then securing the cloud where Wiz specializes, I think that kind of gives them a fully holistic view from top to bottom. So we're your one security solution. Isn't that what everyone's trying to do? But think about that. Sentinel One doesn't have really a cloud play at all. Like if you want to secure a lot of your cloud infrastructure, that's where Wiz specializes. They're the experts at this. And include the desktop on it. Now we got this entire chain of visibility. Sentinel One is already, you know, their data lake, their API driven nature of the way they work means we can pull that into Wiz and then have our full analytics from the time the fingers were touched on a keyboard, what was plugged into that system and how it accessed the cloud and then what happened when it was in the cloud, that full forensics. I think it's going to be an interesting play if they can pull it off and get these two companies synced with each other.
There are two things that are absolutely crystal clear. First one, and since you're new to the show, I'm going to say this. When I come up with an amazing idea, don't get better than that. Publicly, just don't do that. There's like a pacer car rule I have. You don't pass the pacer car. The pacer car's in front, not the fast, but don't pass. It just messes everything up. The second one is, wow, that is an amazing, you are absolutely 100% correct. So going back to the concept of, if they're looking for someone that does a part of something and they can make it so much better, what they do natively, that personnel is hardwired to be in that cloud level component, if they can take the end point and now connect the dots, they have the entire picture.
They have it right top there. To bottom. It's a really interesting concept when you think about it. And on the other side, Wiz is new, Sentinel One, there's still a really good point that you brought up with Wiz being a newer company, Sentinel One's publicly traded. They went through that SEC pain. Guess what you have? A bunch of people experience and understand the business side of where Wiz wants to be. How do you get listed? How do you bring that talent in? How do you know a company's going to go public? You look at who they hire and you go, wait a minute, they just hired a veteran who took two companies public. I know where that company's heading next.
Tom, I really want to keep my eye open, eyes on this particular company. And just to be clear, we talked about this offline prior to the show. The founders of Wiz, what is their background?
Oh, they know where all the bodies are buried because they came from Microsoft Cloud. And take some time, read their blog post, be amazed, also screaming and pulling your hair out on how they broke Microsoft's dashboards and pivoted around through their own network.
Which dashboards? Tell everyone which dashboards did they break?
They took over Bing because they can.
And don't you're worry. So casual about that.
I will point out the CVE that there's not one, actually. So I'm joking. There's no CVE to point out because clouds don't get CVE. And that's an entire other show topic that I could scream about. That when you don't know when something was fixed in the cloud, you just see a blog post from Wiz and you think Microsoft fixed it. Or they didn't, but there's no CVE. We just know that Wiz can't take over Bing anymore. Now, just like the waves that are going to be crashing along the shoreline over in Florida, there's another blue wave coming.
And jumping into my second story from bleepingcomputer.com, a recent wave of Windows blue screens is linked to MSI motherboards. MSI confirmed that some of its motherboard models are causing blue screens of deaths after users installed Windows 11's recent KB502-9351 preview update. The error message displayed is unsupported processor. MSI and Microsoft are jointly investigating this issue. MSI advises users to avoid the August 2023 update, and those affected should revert their BIOS and uninstall the updates. Microsoft acknowledged the error, stating it affects certain Windows 10 and Windows 11 versions. Some users have reported automatic rollbacks after system reboots due to these updates. Microsoft has requested users to report any blue screens of deaths and introduced a new Windows 11 policy for admins to better manage non-security preview updates. Tom, now, I know you know absolutely nothing about hardware, but let's pretend for a moment you did. Talked about it. Christmas, Hanukkah, cookies and cream ice cream. Things I just, it makes me happy. And hosting with you. So I've added a fourth thing there. The things that terrify me, at the top of that list, other than clowns, at the top of that list, and whiskey, by the way, just whiskey. Blue screen of death. Talk to me. Tell me about this. Have you ever had a blue screen of death? What would you do if you had got a blue screen of death? And if you did an update and you got a kernel level, because you have your motherboard, what would you do?
Well, let's just circle this back. The clowns at Microsoft just decided to get rid of all their testing people that they had internally and make us the testers. This happened years ago, and this is that result that we're seeing. They don't thoroughly vet things. They make a lot of arbitrary decisions, including any type of this is processor isn't supported. There is no reason that you need to have certain processor specs to make Windows 11 work. This has been through modifications through the beta test that we could just flip registry keys and things start working. We've proved that it's all very arbitrary the way they want to do this. So the fact that they even waste the time doing these updates that do some of these things and cause some of these problems. On the other side of it, this is why we have all these sysadmins who don't want to update things, because it gives everybody anxiety of what more drama will I have to deal with? I got three users, their printers don't work, and HP nuked all the printers trying to make proprietary ink, and now Microsoft's making the processor proprietary and crashing the servers. So I mean, just it's kind so of a ridiculous circus.
This is literally just a registry arbitrary registry input that can be altered to get rid of this particular error. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know that this particular one, but in the past when you had this CPU is not supported or this system is not supported, like they had certain requirements, especially around the TPM saying, oh, it had to have a certain model TPM. Turns out you could flip some registry keys and you could still get Windows 11 installed, which, wait a minute, if it's fully functional with me flipping these registry keys, why are you making these arbitrary requirements on these things? And undoubtedly, some of this is related to the CPU, because there was a lot of debate about CPU not supported because they have some certain minimum lists in there. Undoubtedly, the details of this update are probably related to that, and I don't understand the why. Microsoft's making decisions that are like, just can't you fix these certificate problems we talked about 10 minutes ago? Put some effort on that so we can get that problem solved before you start tinkering with the CPU.
Okay, so a couple things just happened there. So let's go from the last one first. More anxiety about the security certificate issue. TPM. I spend $160 on a TPM chip because you couldn't find any at the time when they first released them. And everyone was buying them and then marking them up. And then other people were buying them and then marking them up. And you couldn't find them. I bought it on eBay. And it was just the last possible one that you could buy. And then I used it and they said, yeah, this has been a trouble. So we're going to get rid of the old TPM thing for a while. And yeah, maybe you can use that as a tax write-off. So, but going back to the real case in point, you mentioned this is the reason why admins don't want to do updates.
Right.
You could not have hit something more right on the target. We're causing our own problems. At the same time, we're saying, please update your stuff, update your firmware, update your operating systems, update the applications. Let's review your policies. No one wants to touch anything because arbitrary movements are made that cause random outages, everything from random timestamp issues that throw 18 out of how many servers was that? 18?
5,000.
5,000 servers off and you can't figure it out because it threw them 10 years ahead and maybe 10 years behind or maybe five seconds off, but that's just enough for it says this is not a valid, NTP server, centralized NTP server. But no one wants to touch anything. And the best way to figure out where you are based on the problems is figuring out where you came from. And the only way you can do that is make sure that nothing moved and you can figure out the delta. So nobody wants to update anything. I feel like we're causing our own problems from a security perspective exactly because of that point, which is people making arbitrary moves that frankly are inconsequential and we are the testing environment. Yes. Do you think that is the case?
Yeah, and I don't like saying we. I like saying Microsoft does this.
Wait, there it goes again. There it goes again. Oh.
Yeah, it's
Microsoft sponsorship.
You look at the landscape. This is I don't worry about updates on my Linux servers. Matter of fact, most of them run auto patching, and I just don't think about it. And I have a pretty good fleet of them. It's been really, really smooth. We were discussing like even something as complex as WordPress. I've only had very few plugins break. I've had more breakage on Microsoft servers than I had on an open source project running WordPress and auto updates. Like it's just amazing. Like the issues that we have, and Microsoft could do better. This is why there's been the head of Tenable called them out, about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, about Microsoft just doesn't care about security. And they've called for an investigation with Congress, which has led to that. There are some, inklings of this happening because Microsoft just kind of turned their nose up and going, well, we're going to do the most minimal effort possible because what are you going to do? Use a different operating system? What are you going to tell your clients to run Linux?
Well, we've done stories. We've talked about that here on MSP Dispatch about executives, very well-known, initiated individuals in our industry calling out Microsoft, saying exactly that. Microsoft doesn't care about security. And we should probably talk about that more. But in the meantime, let's kind of wrap this up because I think we got a lot of notables, right?
Yes. Dropbox is dropping customers. No more unlimited storage for all of you freeloaders, or crypto people seem to be to blame for this. Or is it just in fashion to bring crypto? Why not? It reality is, I didn't know Dropbox is still even growing. I think this is a excuse for them to contract a bit because cloud storage is kind of commoditized. It's being dominated by a couple players. And I think it's just the people have always used Dropbox, so they continue to use Dropbox, and Dropbox revenues not being there. They said, hey, why not just shrink that unlimited storage offering that we had before? Because it's always a promise until it's not. And I think that's where we're at with Dropbox here today. No more unlimited storage for all of you. The wait is finally over. The Threads is now coming to the web version, so it's no longer just on your phone. And is it too little too late? Is it somehow going to be popular? Will this cause a real resurgence, or is it just still dead? And this is kind of a challenge. We are basically watching Mark Zuckerberg copy and make Twitter again with actually kind of like Twitter, but without the Elon-esque version of it. And is this enough to actually revive it, or will Twitter and X still be dominant, which is so far proven really a hard brand to destroy, no matter how much effort the owner of that brand tries. But it's here if people need it, if people are looking for an escape to something else, if you want to go into the hands of yet another crazy megalomaniac billionaire, Threads is there for you.
In my first notable mention from computerworld.com, Microsoft has partnered with Anaconda to embed Python directly into Excel. This move allows users to run Python code within Excel cells without extra setups, facilitating tasks like analytics and machine learning. Previously, external add-ons were needed for such integrations. With the new update, users can employ a PI function for Python execution, also harnessing libraries like scikit-learn. This feature is currently in public preview for Windows users on beta channel. Access requires joining the Microsoft 365 Insider program, and certain post-preview features may be behind a paid license. And in my next notable mention from darkreading.com, Genworth Financial is under investigation for a data breach. Schubert, Jonker, and Colby LLP is investigating a data breach affecting 2.5 million customers and agents of Genworth Financial Inc. The breach, revealed on May 31st, 2023, occurred due to a vulnerability in the MoveIt file transfer program used by third-party vendor PBI Research and Services. That was also covered here on MSB Dispatch quite a few times. The breach exposed data including names, birth dates, social security numbers, and policy numbers. Those affected might receive a notification from Genworth or PBI and could be entitled to compensation and security practice changes. And in our resource of the week from T-365.com, there are quite a few new updates to Office 365 in August 2023. I'm going to blaze through this list as quick as possible, but for a full list of these features, please look at our show notes. They will include everything from group policy assignment and rank assistance, proactive monitoring and meeting quality using real-time telemetry for Teams. Microsoft Teams is also going to have an open side-by-side integration with Microsoft Edge, premium trials, shared line experiences in simplified mobile call delegation experiences, near real-time calendar sync in Teams Mobile, and Azure Protected Actions, Microsoft Intune Anomaly Detection, Bing Chat Enterprise in Microsoft Edge, Python in Excel that we just covered here, Microsoft Lists in CSV, and Google Forms to Microsoft Forms migrations. But again, for that full list of features, please look at our show notes.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On August 29th through the 30th, an in-person event, Cybersecurity Marketing Roadshow in Chicago, Illinois. And also on the 29th, another in-person event, Huntress Cybersecurity Masterclass in Dallas, Texas. And also today at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Pitchett's Battle Royale Day 2. And on the 30th through the 31st, our other in-person event, ASCII MSP Success Summit in Toronto, Ontario. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, on August 29th at 7:30 p.m., Wins and Losses, Episode 7. And tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, AI Roundup, Episode 25. Also on the 30th at 1 p.m., Partner First, Secure, Simplify, Succeed with Identity and Access Management. And at the end of the week, on September 1st at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a new episode of 38 to 38 with special guest Joe Purcell of Bell Techlogix Incorporated. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and twice, three times. Make sure it's an odd number, seven times, nine times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we also have a Discord where we post our stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote for which ones we're going to cover. And as not my friend, but definitely Ray's friend, Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email at news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or just leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-Network. So Tom, again, I love. So does my therapist, by the way, loves having you on the show because I learned so much from you. You are a blast. I love to see that you're actually healed from your injury. For those of you who don't know, Tom professionally races motorcycles against semi-trucks, and sometimes he wins, sometimes he doesn't. And this last time he did not, but you got your mobility back. Talk to me, wrap it up, land this plane, go, Tom.
This was a lot of fun. Always fun being here. I may retire from motorcycle racing unprofessionally because I'm adjusting my risk tolerance, as we would say, as I push 50 years old.
Managing expectation in the
Very well anymore.
The mortality concept is coming a little bit more in focus as we get older. Oh man! Again, great show, Tom. Thank you so much for being here.
And as always,
everyone out there, please be safe. Email us some questions, comments, concerns, and I will share my therapist for all the things I learned with Tom. Everyone, be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it,
don't. Sorry.
He was going to answer you.
Oh. There's your beer.
He's got a little script that he'll read through, and then he'll ask you.
Got it.
Okay. Like, good. Wait, what's going on? Okay, ready? Here we go.